Well, I'm just going to read from Ephesians chapter 2, just two verses where we left off. Read verses 8 and 9. This is what Paul writes. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. I was reading through Proverbs this week, and there's a number of references in verses to how it's better to keep your mouth shut and not speak, teaching discretion in speech. And maybe the preacher should sometimes take that to heart and remember that this is the word of God. Now, my mother was a fantastic cook, still is, not quite as able as she was. She was a fantastic cook. Growing up, she did school meals. Growing up, she would bake some fantastic cakes, chocolate cakes, coffee and walnuts, and she had sublime scones, or we call them scones in Derby, scones up here. Yeah, she was, you can probably tell, fantastic cook. And I was reading recently a story that someone was telling about a company in America who decided to make it easy for the cooks. Because I remember my mother, the kitchen would be full of all sorts of equipment. There'd be flour all over the place, all over her hands. So where you touched her nose, there'd be a bit of flour on the end. But this company decided to make it easy for cooks. And they made a cake recipe where all you had to do was add water. You would expect that to fly off the shelves, wouldn't you? But it didn't. And they were curious as to why. So they did a survey of many people asking them why they weren't buying this cake. And as a result of their survey, they changed it. So not only do you add water, but you had to add an egg as well. You see, it was just too easy. People weren't attracted to something that was just too easy to do. So they made it a little bit more difficult. And yes, you've guessed it, it sold like hotcakes off the shelves. Sometimes people think that the gospel, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, is just too easy. When we read what Paul has written, by grace are ye saved, through faith, not of works, not of your works. Since the dawn of time, or since the very first men and women that occupied the earth after Adam and Eve, we've sought to get near to God. We've sought redemption, salvation, and the most common way is through works. That's what they tried to do, as if they could build their way to heaven, as if they could talk their way into heaven, as if they went through all these different sort of rituals and chants to try and get to heaven. And of course the result is failure. When you try works salvation, it doesn't work. Well, having said that, the words I'm going to utter next are in contradiction to it, but I'm going to qualify it. There is such a thing as salvation by works. I'll put two qualifiers on that. First, if you did the law of the Lord perfectly, you would be saved. Sadly, we cannot. And the other thing is that the salvation by works that does work is only the work of God. He has done it. We cannot do it. We're unable. And I'll give a little illustration of that later on. We're unable to do it. But all the work of salvation that has been done is by God. And we read that right as we start at the very first book, the very first few chapters in the Bible. All the way through, it's God that does things. It's God that even empowers men to do his works that he wants done. The thing, salvation, comes from God alone. So we find men trying to scrabble their way to heaven and failing because they have within them, a void that needs to be filled. And we try and fill that void with all sorts of things, some things which are not fit to be mentioned from this platform, and other things like riches or a job or a car, a house, things that try to fill the void. Nothing wrong in those things, but when you try to fill the void that's in your life with them in place of God, then we have a problem. And it was St. Augustine who spoke about that void within the soul or body or the existence of man that needs to be filled. So this verse 9, if we start with that, we start with the bad news. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast. It's all of God. We cannot boast about our salvation other than it's God who has done it. It's not ourselves. Salvation is not of works, lest anyone should boast. So that's bad news that we've had when we read that verse, because it means that we can't do anything. We're unable to manufacture salvation. We're unable to get into the presence of God because we're sinners. Of course, the good news preceded the bad news in this reading that I've had. For by grace you have been saved. And that word grace in the New Testament, it's the word charis. It's where you get the name charis from, or grace. Charisma comes from that. Charismatic comes from that. It means a gift. A gift. And Paul writes about this gift of God, and it's through the grace of God that you've been saved, and you've been saved through faith in God. Faith, which is trust, saving faith in Christ, the belief that we have and is given to us by God. It's not something that we can work up within ourselves. We cannot increase our faith. We cannot increase our belief. The Lord does that. And remember the man who came to the Lord and said, I believe. Help me to believe better. Help my unbelief. We're in that position, or have been in that position, and it's by faith that we have been saved. And that salvation that is spoke of there, it means a deliverance from the consequences of our sin, deliverance from the judgment of our sin, but it also means to make whole. Remember the void? God makes us whole in Christ. The void is gone because the Spirit of God occupies our life, can take over our life and please the Lord. He preserves us from destruction and loss through faith in him. That's how we've been saved. Not of works, like I've said, the works of the law. They cannot save, not because they're unable in themselves, but we cannot keep them. And we have the giving of the law through Moses, which the Bible occupies a lot of the Bible. But there's also the law that is written upon our hearts and lives, and we have a conscience. And we know when we've harmed that conscience, we feel it. And sadly, men can get to such a state, hardened in sin, that they no longer seem to have a conscience. But by then, it's far too late until someone preaches the gospel to them. So we have the written word of God, the law, and we have the unwritten, which abides in our souls. And if we transgress against that, and we will, There's only been one man who has kept the law to absolute perfection, and that's our Lord Jesus Christ. And he went as that pure sacrifice on the cross so that we might be saved. He took upon himself our sins. He had no sin of his own. And through him, through that work which God has done, we are saved through faith, believing in him. Like I said at the beginning, for some people, that's just too easy. We want to make it more difficult. Surely there's something more that we can't just think it's trusting in Christ and that's it. We need to add things to that, things that we can do, a ritual to go through, make it more difficult, to feel as if we're doing something. But we don't, because God has done it. The illustration I'm going to give about the inability of us to achieve our own salvation is this. There were three men. This is a parable, if you like. There were three men who went down on a boat 1,000 miles from the nearest shore. One of them was an Olympic quality swimmer. He was a fantastic swimmer. The other one was probably like me, could paddle along, mediocre. And one couldn't swim. Their boat went down. The three are in the water. The first man, the Olympic champion, he said, "I'm going to swim. I'll get us there. Just follow me." And he takes off at great speed. The middle man tries to follow in what way he can, breaststroke, over arms, and maybe he did the butterfly, I don't know. The man who couldn't swim didn't last very long. He had no chance of making it. But you know, the middle guy, who could swim a little bit, he had no chance either. It was too far, and within a mile or so, he perished. The strong swimmer, he could swim for days, but still not enough. He got so far, 50 miles, and he was exhausted, and he too perished. That land was too far away. And that's what it's like with us in trying to work our way into heaven. It's too far away. We will not make it. We can appear to be brilliant, an Olympic champion at pursuing religion, but we will fail. No matter how good we are, we'll never be good enough. Our salvation depends upon the one who was absolutely perfect, who went to the cross, took upon himself our sins, died in our place, and challenges us to trust in him, because he has done the work. And he is the one, the gift of God, the grace of God, and the salvation of God. He is the only one that we can trust and believe in and be saved. That's it. It's so simple. Just these two verses point us into the way of salvation, or tells us what has been achieved for those who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're struggling, trying to be as religious as you can, give it up and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour and Lord. Pray to him for forgiveness, and he will forgive. He's taken your place upon the cross. He's died for your sins, and you can experience the gift of God and the faith that comes from God, and above all, the salvation that comes from him, the salvation that he has wrought. Now, I use that word advisedly. Wrought, it's quite an old-fashioned word, isn't it? When I used to price up bills of quantities in the building trade, in the description it would say a timber species, and then it would have behind after it WROT, rot, short for wrought. It's timber that has been worked. It's been shaped. There are other expressions like dressed all round, planed all round, DAR, R1A, rounded one aris, probably beyond you, but it's something that has been wrought. How do you get wrought iron gate? Something that's been made. And God has wrought our salvation. He has made our salvation. He is the one who has done the work and no one else. What a great God we have that can achieve that forgiveness of sins, that eternal life that we spoke about, and that home for eternity with him in his place. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the salvation by works that we have. And it's the work of God. It's only that that can save. It's only your work, what you have done, planned from the very beginning of time to bring the Lord Jesus to die in our place upon a cross. That is the work that you have done. And we see the meticulous detail in the scriptures of how his ministry would be in the Old Testament and how it was actualized with his presence upon this earth, fulfilling your word and going to a cross. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that if there are any here or listening that have not yet trusted in the Lord Jesus, we pray that they would place their faith and trust in him, the only Saviour, our Lord Jesus Christ. Part us with your blessing now, for we ask it in his name. Amen.